You know, on Friday, we had a missions meeting, and Carol heads that up for us. And to start the meeting, she says to us, she says, before we get started, I would like you to just share one thing that energizes you, pumps you up, gets you excited. And as some others in that group began to share, one of the things that I'm thinking, okay, what energizes me? What energizes me is when God does something impossible, out of our character, uses someone, and then gets glory for it. I think of, and I shared, Teen Challenge, David Wilkerson going to New York under that. If you've ever read the book Crossing the Switchblade and understand that whole story there with him, that's a God thing. He should have got killed before he even got started, but it's a God thing and turns into something good. And the reason I say all of that is when we have those praise times, a healing, when I see that God has people in the operating room doing some amazing things and being sensitive. And then when the doctor says to the team that this isn't working right, you're going to have to talk to the family. And then suddenly, a bunch of believers are praying. And then all of a sudden it coincidence starts going right. Those are the things that jack me up, that get me pumped up. So this morning I was encouraged by some of the praise reports, and we need to hear that. Amen. We need to hear those kinds of things. I'm finishing up the series this morning, Love in Action. It started out to be a single sermon and ended up to be a three-part, because the more I dug into it, the more I couldn't finish it up and felt like there was just a little more that should be shared with that text. And I kid a lot with you guys, and I'll do something crazy and I say, well, you gotta love me, and truth is, you have a choice. Just in case you didn't know that. You have a choice, and the truth of the matter is that you do have a choice whether you're going to love me or whether you're going to love someone else. And the truth is that love is an action word. It's something that you have to put into practice. It has to be something intentional, and there's so much lip service going on. And they throw it around so flippantly. I'm kind of amazed when somebody says, I love you, and they say, I love ice cream, and it's in the same tone and the same degree. Well, I'm hoping that if somebody does love me, they love me a little more than ice cream. Now, I like my ice cream, don't get me wrong. But if they had a choice, I would hope that they would love me just a shade more than ice cream. And we've been in this series, and it's taken from Romans chapter 12, Paul talking to the church, words of encouragement, basically telling them how they ought to be living out their lives. And if you remember, we looked at the first part and said love has to be sincere. And that can be a sermon all in itself, couldn't it? When you look at love needs to be sincere in all of the stumbling stones that could be involved in the midst of that. Then we talked about not lacking zeal, and I look at believers and I see them lacking some of the zeal that God wants us to have. That I shared that maybe what is it going to take for us to bring it up just a couple notches, a couple degrees? What can we do different to make a difference? And we talked about joyfulness, and we talked about patience. Being patient, we talked about being faithful, we talking about love being exposed. It really has to be, because it's intentional. We don't want to guess if a believer is loving the Lord. It should be something that should be shown on their face and in their actions. And we see that we need to sometimes practice what we preach and live it out. And second part was about persecution, and we may not be persecuted like, some of the continents in Africa, and we're not being persecuted like some of the third world countries, but we see more and more that as a believer, you're being persecuted, that you're being challenged for your faith and told to be quiet. And then I began to share for a moment that, if they persecuted Jesus, why do we feel like we're exempt from that? Why would, if we're followers of Jesus, believe that, we're not going to be persecuted at times for our faith, and we kind of think that we should get this get out of jail free card, that, in the midst of the trial, you just like, I forgot to tell you, I have a get out of jail free card. You need to stop persecuting me. You need to be nicer to me. You need to be kinder to me. And the third part, as we wrap this up, is really we're told to do something that's not normal. When society is involved, they're not going to love you like Jesus loves you. Society isn't going to be sincere in their actions towards you at all times. And the Lord is telling us that we need to love sincere. We need to understand there's going to be persecution. We understand that we need to be a part of people's lives, that there's a commitment there. And then it goes into this third part about not being vengeful and not being loving them for the wrong reasons, and actually going and saying that you need to love your enemies. You know how far away from society that is when the Lord comes and he tells you, love your enemies, if they need a drink, you should be the one quenching their thirst, that you shouldn't be overcome by evil, but that you should overcome evil with good. Do you know how much we need God for that? We need the Lord for that. And this morning, as we just dig into this, I'm going to ask you to bow your head. We're going to pray, because all of these things, you can't do that without God. You can't act like that. You can't be Christ-like like that without the Lord. So, Father, this morning we come in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. We're asking, Lord God, that we want to be that person. We want to be more Christ-like. There's not one of us here that's a believer that wouldn't say, yeah, I want to be more Christ-like, but at times we get more like Peter. We deny you, and then we feel bad. This morning, I'm asking, Lord God, as we look to your scripture, as we really dig into to see that the only way that we can overcome evil is the good that we have in us because of Christ dwelling in us. It's not our own goodness. It's not our own good acts, but it's Christ working through us. And we ask, Lord God, that each one of us would have a heart open for what you have for us. Each one of us can be distracted. There's a million things that will rob us of what you're even saying to us right now. If we go out this door and we forget what you've said, it won't be long before it's been stolen or forgotten. And then, Lord God, we'll be put in a position or a circumstance and asked to be more Christ-like, and we'll fall short because we're trying to do it in our own strength. Help us, Lord God, to be all that you want us to be. In the powerful name of Christ, we pray this. Amen. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 12, I won't take the time again to read it from verse 9, but we'll just dig in from verse 17 down to 21, our text for this morning. Romans 12, starting at 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord, speak to us through this word. The purpose that we're looking at and digging into this text, I have one purpose this morning, is for us to change our thinking on how we can be more Christ-like. Because we race through that text. It's a familiar text. I'm sure many of you have read it several times. But when we take the time to dig in, we see that there needs to be a change that goes on in our life. There needs to be something happens that's out of the ordinary, something that happens that is above what we can do in ourselves. And we really need to surrender ourselves to the Lord to be able to do that. And I have some crazy examples because that's how I am, and I'm asking you to love me. That's why I prefaced that before we got started. You know, I'm one of those that like action movies. I'm one of those that enjoy the police dramas and all of that kind of stuff. And so when I say this, you'll get where I'm coming from. The character Rambo, played by Sylvester Stallone, he has like four movies. He plays Rambo, and all of the movies are the same. All of the movies are the same. He takes revenge on people who have done him wrong. And he takes wicked revenge. If you saw the movies, he takes wicked revenge. And he takes revenge on those people that he knows. So if he knows somebody and they were done wrong by a group of people or individuals, Rambo is ready to go and settle the score. He takes, and he's a warrior for the nation and feels that he's called to the United States, so he's willing to go overseas to do what's needed to protect the American people, protect the honor of the United States. John Rambo wanted to rid the world of evil and do it all by himself. Amen? I mean, if you ever saw these movies, you'd understand that. And I want you to know I'm a lot like John Rambo. He has 6-pack abs. I have 18-pack abs. And he has this physique that's chiseled like a man of war, and I'm chiseled like a man at war with gravity. Okay, so I don't look like him. I never looked like him. But I still have a lot of his attitude, because before I met Jesus, that's the way I felt. I felt like if you did me wrong, I'm going to do better. If you did something, I'm going to make sure I do something a little bit more, maybe even 10 times worse. And I know that don't sound like the heart of a pastor, but that's before I knew Jesus. But I still want you to know I still struggle with that. Anybody else want to be honest? Anybody else want to just understand that there is a lot of John Rambo in every one of us that wants to take revenge, that wants to come back at somebody? If you do this, I'm going to do that. And truth is the matter is, and I realize that I'm sanctified and I love the Lord with all my heart. I've surrendered every part of my life to him, but there's still a part of me that wants to raise up at times, that gets in front of what God's wanting to do. And that part of me is the part that, you know, where it says turn the other cheek. The Jesus side of me wants to turn the other cheek. But the Rambo side of me says you probably shouldn't try it, because the unsanctified side of me is going to want to lash out at you. The unsanctified part of me that God hasn't been able to get out of me yet, where I'm 100% every moment of the day walking for God, that side of me is probably going to want to do 10 times worse. That side of me would probably want to slap you just so that you would know that the next time, don't even try it. Anybody want to say amen? This is your preacher just being honest this morning. That's in every part of us. Now granted, I will do everything I can not to do that. Maybe even be able to control myself, but in my mind I want to do it, but I wouldn't do it. But God is looking for us this morning, right down to the core of our hearts, saying, I want you to be that non-vengeful person. I want to take those things out of you so that you could be all that you're supposed to be. See, I was the guy that was wanting to right the wrongs in the world. I was the guy that wanted to take the wrongs by force, not peaceably. I'm better than I am, but God's still working on me. Is he still working on us? Anybody here, is he still working on? It's easy to take revenge like the world. Say amen. It's easy to take revenge like the world. It's a God thing. It's a God moment. It's a sanctified filling of the Spirit when we act like Christ. Anybody ever hear of a spite house? I have a couple pictures. Cece, could you throw them up there? Let me share this and then I'll explain this. In 1897, Joseph Richardson had a plot of land, and that plot of land was 5 foot long, or 5 foot wide, 100 feet long. Now remember, 1897. He wanted to sell it because there was two contractors coming together that wanted to put an apartment building in there. Again, 1897. So when they approached this Richardson about his land, they offered him $1,000, 1897, for a plot of land 5 foot wide, 100 foot long, $1,000. Richardson wanted $5,000. They could not come to an agreement. That after many times of talking, they couldn't come to an agreement. The contractors decide that they're going to build this apartment build anyways. So what Richardson did in 1897 in New York City, Lexington and 82nd Street, is he built a home 5 foot wide, 100 foot long, 4 stories high. His whole philosophy was that nobody was going to sneak a view over his lot. Is that how vengeful we can get? The last 13 years of his life with his wife, they lived in a living room that was barely 2.5 foot wide. Running water only on the first floor. Now remember, it's 4 stories high because he built it so that they couldn't sneak a view over his lot. Do we have it wrong sometimes when we think about vengeful? These views here, one is the Alameda House. It's in California. One is in Boston. And you can get the idea of a house that is thrown in the wrong place. Now, the Richardson home was built in 1902, finished in 1902, tore down in 1915. But you can see that some of these things aren't even, my wife talks about a little house, but these are like thrown into the mixed. And you can see that out of it. So let's break down for a minute. What is the Lord trying to tell us in these verses? He begins by saying, you can take that off now, thanks. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. And then we say, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand what I'm up against. You don't know who I'm dealing with. You don't know what I've been through. But all I can tell you is the Bible says, do not. So, do not repay anyone evil for evil. So it's not a question of who has the right to or not. Who has the best story? Who has been put to the biggest test? The clear message that is given is that we need to love our enemies, and that love and the love involved here is going to be more than they deserved. Amen? It's not a question of whether they should deserve it or not. It's going to be more than what they deserve, treating them better than they deserve and not returning evil for evil. Luke 6:27-29 says, but I say to you, who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Bless those that abuse you. to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. It's not easy to turn your cheek. Some people need to be dead right. They're going to have the last word every time, all the time. We live in a day and age where society is split on both sides. So we need to be careful how and what we say. Because what we say could pull them away even farther from Christ. We don't know what God is doing. And we sometimes think as one group of people come together that there is going to be more than one opinion. Be careful how we act and what we say. One preacher says that in doing this, this would be a great text to look to the person next to you and say, I like your coat that you're wearing today. I think I want it. This would be a great text for a person that that you go, hey, I'd like to borrow some money. You get the point. As a believer, we have an opportunity to break the cycle. Say amen to that. We have an opportunity to break the cycle, and the cycle is to do the same or worse to the person who has harmed you, the person that is coming against you. And we will never see the change in the world that Christ wants unless we break the cycle in Jesus' name under the power of Jesus Christ with the anointing of God, the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Can you say amen to that? That's the only way you're going to be able to break that. We see all kinds of people coming on a Sunday morning into church, but Christ is telling us that we need to be the same Monday through Saturday also. That the church needs to be the church 24/7. He sees people blowing the horn. He sees people having road rage and grocery rage, people having cart fights in the grocery store. Come on. Sees us and watches us do that. It's easy to love someone when they love us. It's not so easy when they are challenging. Christ says that we should love the unlovable. Christ says that we should make an impact. Christ says that we should intervene in their lives. Christ says that we should speak life to them, not death. It's easier to love those that love us. It's easier to love people that aren't mad at you. What if we're the only ones that they see? What if we're the only Jesus that they encounter? What Jesus are they going to see in us? Scripture here says, live peacefully with each other, and we touched about it a little bit last week, if it's possible. We can't always make the rules for the government. And they have meetings in the middle of the night and they do all kinds of things. Both parties. We can't always be involved in all of those things, but he says, live peaceably with each other as it is possible with you. Some people just can't stand without drama. You know those kind of people? They cannot survive without drama. They cannot survive if someone's not mad. They cannot survive if they're not unforgiving of something or somebody. If someone has wronged them years later, they don't forget, they don't remember why they're mad, they're just still mad. It's easier to be a witness to someone if they're on speaking terms with them. Amen. It's easier to reach an unbeliever if you at least find one common denominator that you can talk to them about and sit down. You can agree to disagree with a whole lot of things, but if you're going to have a common denominator, it's easier to witness to someone if you can find one common denominator. Treat people with the kindness that would move them towards Christ and away from the world. Amen? Telling us that we need to be different. I'll see if it works. I'm going to use Mike as an example. He's got to love me. He's my prayer partner. He better love me. If I'm working with Mike, and I see Mike sitting there, and I come by and I say, you know what, Mike, on my break, I just showed up at Dunkin' Donuts and I wanted a coffee and I just wanted to know if you wanted one. And I handed him one. Would that make an impact? I know this guy likes coffee, so I'm assuming that he would not say, no, that's terrible, don't ever do that for me again. But now on the other side, take that same scenario. Mike's there, and I come in. Oh, Mike, you are not going to believe the terrible day that I had. And on my break, I went over to Dunkin' Donuts. And don't get me wrong, I'm going to sit over there. I'm not going to do anything. And would you just please tell everyone to leave me alone until I drink this coffee? Which one would I have a witness for? Which one is going to be remembered that he's going to think, man, that guy's Christ-like? Which one is going to be the person that he would want to talk to? Amen? Bible tells us, Paul's saying that really we can kill people with kindness. When people go off in that out of control mode, just let me vent. And when that pressure cooker's all done, they're wore out, they move on to somebody else. But the Bible tells us that we can heap coals of fire on them by sharing Christ, by showing the love of Christ. And what does that look like? It simply means that we're going to choose not to do evil or respond evil or bring back evil for evil. We're going to be the people that God calls us to be. God is good. God is the only one that's good. Say amen to that. We're only good with Christ indwelling us. Greater is he that's in us than in the world. It makes an impact. Greater is the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us than the world that comes against us. And as a believer, we're reminded that we've been given the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to overcome the world, to be different than the world, to lay down the flesh that wants, like I'm saying, to just go revengeful. Whatever you do, I'm going to do more. I'll never forgive you. I'll never forget. Years ago, I can't remember why, but I just remember years ago, That impact will never bring change in people's life, not a godly change anyways. When we show Christ's love and we show his kindness, we break that cycle of retaliation. And it reminds people and draws them to God. Because they walk away and they say, how could that person do that? There's something different about that person. And I'll throw in there, when you have those moments, and you know what I'm talking about, when you have those moments, and they're hungry for the things of God, to find out what's going on in your life, how you can be the way you are, how you respond to the things that you respond to and the way that you respond to them, that is a perfect opportunity to share your faith. That's a perfect opportunity to invite them to be a part of the community of believers, finding out something going on in their life and finding a common denominator and reaching out to them. When you really say, and Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the only way that you're going to defeat the hatred of the world is with the love of God. When you realize who the real enemy is and begin to work in people's lives, and when you find a common denominator to find out why they're at the journey spot that they're at, we'll see mighty things for God. we'll see God doing some amazing things. Then we will be able to feed the enemy. We'll be able to give a drink to the enemy because we'll be doing it in Christ. Four or five times in the Bible, we see in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it's in Deuteronomy, Proverbs, Matthew, Romans, and 1 Thessalonians. All these verses tell us different and numerous ways on how we can show kindness to our enemies and to reach out to them in a compassionate way in Christ. The only way you're going to destroy an enemy is making them a friend. Finding a way. Finding a common denominator. That I'm not saying you have to agree with everything that's going on. I'm not saying that we need to water down our Christian faith. I'm not saying that you need to not stand on the things that mean a lot to you. What I am saying is find a common denominator before you want to destroy someone. Find a way to reach their heart. In as much as it is possible with you, live at peace and harmony. Last thing this morning. Holy cow. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. To stoop to vengeance is to be conquered yourself by evil. Booker T. Washington says, I will not allow any man to belittle my soul by making him hate me. You say amen to that this morning? As I wrap this up this morning, hurt people hurt people. Hatred met with hatred only fuels hatred. When we have an eternal perspective on what God wants to do in our lives, when we have a perspective that we want to be Christ-like and change the way that we deal with people and become more sensitive, we will see lost people coming to Christ. We will see more people coming through these doors of church. It's not that they don't want to. They need an invitation. They need to see Christ with feet. They need to know that people care for them. You can say Jesus loves you, but it'll have the best effect after they know that you love them and that you care for them. They need to believe it so. Let me see if I can get this right. They need to believe it so, even when it's not so, so that it can be so because Jesus said so. Amen? That's good stuff. They need to know that. They need to understand that Christ loves them. We can make a difference. That'd be a good place to say amen. One person can make a difference. How much can a congregation make? If we would just understand that a lot of the people that come in against us aren't the enemy. They need to know Christ. They need to see the love of Christ. They don't need hatred returned with hatred. They need the love of Christ fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Amen? Father God, as we just close this out, I realize, Lord God, that for each one of us, there is a struggle. At some point, we're going to struggle. We're sanctified. We're on our way to heaven. We surrender lives to Christ. But Lord God, we stumble at times. There's things that become a stumbling block in every single one of our lives. And they need to be laid at the foot of Jesus. Help us to see those that need Christ, not as enemies, but as people that need to see the love of Christ in action in us so that they can believe what you've done, Christ, in the cross and for us. Help us to be that. Help us to make an impact. Help us to find one, at least one common denominator with someone so that we might have an opportunity to minister to them and make a difference. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.